Boketov, welcome back to our continued series of the study of Daf Yomi. We're on Yevamo Daf Zayin Amud Bet. And as you can see from the page, we're going to go to the middle of Daf Chet Amud Bet. There are two dots in the standard edition right in the middle, and we're going to go to there. And we pick up our argument again, trying to find a source in the Torah such that Aleha is necessary. And we go as follows. About seven lines down. That we thought that perhaps the arayot would be mutar, and such that Allah is needed, because we would have a bamematzinu, meaning common denominator. We would find eshadach. The Torah said eshadach is an erva, but in the case of yibum, it's mutar. So, ma eshadach miyab ma fachotisha tityabem. So, the same thing with achotisha, which is our locus classicus. Should be mityabeh. So mi dami, you can't compare the two. Hatam chad isura, hachetre isura. And this is similar to something we saw in the previous podcast, where we are grading isurim and saying this is more chamur, the karet, not karet. Here, it's a little bit more of an obvious distinction. Eshet ach is one isur. The Torah says, trump that isur with yibum. Here we have eshet ach plus achot isha. So just because we violate one isur doesn't mean that we're going to then move it and violate two. Right, so now, ma'u detayma hoyal v'ishtri ishtri. So my thinking, which is very reasonable thinking, is to say, once the Torah permitted it, it permitted it. Right, now we have to take a detour to find where is a precedent where we say, hoyal v'ishtri ishtri, meaning, once something has been permitted, it's permitted, and it carries with it things that are not normally permitted. We'll see the example. Manatam v'damin hoyal v'ishtri ishtri, here we know a principle for a precedent for the Tanya. Now, just a couple of introductions. When we studied Pesachim together, we dealt in length and in detail on the mitzvah of Shiluach in a Machaner, on Pezayin Pechet, around the fact that different Tmeim are sent at different levels of distance from the Machaner, or out of one Machaner, two Machanot, three Machanot. A Metzorah is sent out of all three Machanot, or in practical terms, outside of the city. Metzorah, on his seventh day of Tahara, has to come in order to have the blood, we talked about this yesterday, the blood put on his ear and on his thumb and on his toe. So he has to, so the Torah says he comes into Har HaBayit. So Metzorah Shechal Shmini Shelo Be'erva Pesach, so in the eighth day. Let's say that his eighth day is Erev Pesach, which means that he has to come in on the eighth day, do the Matan Vahonot, then bring his korbanot, and then he is no longer mechusa kippurim. Someone else can shecht on his behalf, and that night he can participate in the korban pesach, and thus avoid the possibility of karet. Now, v'ra'a keri bo bayom. So he, on that morning of the 8th, before he came in to do the matan v'honot, he saw a keri. Right? V'taval, he already went to the mikvah, which means he's a tful yom. Amru chachamim v'bisha in tful yom acher nichnas, even though a regular tful yom is not allowed to come into the azarab. Zen nichnas, why? Utav she'evo aseh she'ish bo karet, v'idchei aseh she'in bo karet. So the aseh of Pesach trumps the aseh of shiluach min ha-machaneh, which does not involve a karet. Good. Now, let's see a little bit more. V'yamar v'yochanan, davar Torah filo aseh late bay. Truth is, that even midoraita, there's no aseh about a tful yom. Once you've gone to the mikvah, midoraita, you're allowed to come into the machaneh. Shemar v'yamod yoshafat b'kal yehuda p'nei chatzer ha-chadashah. This is in mentioned Divrei Hayamim that Yehoshaphat HaMelech stood up, and as Rashi points out, this after there was a great Taharat Ha'am. Why was it called a Chatzer HaChadasha? Amar Yochanan Shechidshu Badvarim. They made new enactments. V'amru Tful Yom Lo Yikanes L'machan L'viya. That a Tful Yom can't kind of become Tahar Abayit. Which means Midoraita Tful Yom, meaning somebody who's gone to the mikvah on his last day of Tahara, of preparation for Tahara, is allowed to midoraita come in, which means this mitzora that we're letting in, we're letting him in to avoid the karet of not participating in the Pesach, and we are violating lav midvei kabbalah, if you will. Now, v'yamar ula matam, what's the reason that we let the mitzora in? V'hutar l'tzarato, hutar l'kiryo. In other words, a regular guy who was a balkari, so he's tameh. And we say you have to go to the mikvah and wait till nightfall, and the next day you can come into the mikdash. This mitzvah has a special dispensation to come into the azara on his eighth day, to do the matan b'honot. So since he is mutar in that, then this later tuma that comes along and he's tovel, it's full yom, we allow it. But I said it in that order for a reason, as we'll see. Matan holu tzarato hutali kuriyom mi dami l'du'ula. But is our case of eshet ach really similar to that case of ula? So let's see, it really depends in what order who got married. We have brother number one who dies, brother number two is the remaining brother, sister number one who married brother number one and she's now a widow, and sister number two who married brother number two and they're both alive and still married. Now, so in a case where brother number one got married first and then brother number two got married, which means when brother number one got married, the first thing that happened is that woman is usher to him as eshet ach. The next thing that happens when he marries her sister, the woman now has a double disser on top of her, which is achot isha. So then you could argue that it's because of yibum, eshet ach gets liberated, maybe achot isha gets liberated with it because it came second. But if we flip the order, let's say that brother number two married his wife first, which means the first thing that happens to sister number one is she's also as achot isha. And then brother number one married her, and then she becomes eshet ach. Isur achot isha kadim. That isur comes first, which it means it's not like the Metzora case, because that's a case where, in the Metzora case, where the thing that was permitted came first, and only afterwards something else came along. We say, the thing that was permitted was always going to be permitted on the eighth day, therefore this other thing gets pushed aside. But here, if the living brother married his wife first, then the trouble wife, or the widow, is first an achot isha, then she becomes eshet ach. In that case, he wouldn't say it. And by the way, we'll add to that, afilu nasameit, even if the deceased brother married first, truth is, it only works if the first brother married his wife, then died, then brother number two married his wife, which means there was a time period in which the widow was neither eshet ach, because they guess trumped, nor achot isha. All right, just like here, we're on the eighth day in the morning, the Metzora had no other isurim on him, and he was allowed, and then the carry happened. Right, and we'll see why we're mentioning specifically the eighth day. Because in the intervening time between when his brother died and when he married sister number two, sister number one was really mutterim. But let's say the brother number one got married, he hadn't died yet, and then the brother number two married sister number two, and then brother number one died, lo ichsa leklal, there was no moment at which sister number one was mutter to him, because the minute that she became omeret leibum, she was already in achot isha, unlike the Metzora, who had the part of the morning of the eighth day that it was mutter before he had the carry. Right? And umilo modi ula shimra carry belel shmini shen machnis yadav lebohonot, shalai yatza b'shashi ruya lahavi b'korban. And ula admits that if the Metzora saw the carry the night before, that he cannot come in on the eighth day, because there was no moment at which he was able to come into the Mikdash before the carry hit him. So the same thing here, which means that the only case where we would think the assay is dochalot assay, based on the whole of the ishtri reasoning, would only be if brother number one married sister number one, brother number two wasn't married yet. Brother number one then died. And then before the sister number one fell to brother number two, he married sister number two. Question of whether he was allowed to do that, we'll deal with that in the Sugya of Zika later on. In that case, then there was a moment at which sister number one really was mutter to him, Altzibum, before he married sister number two, and then you might say, oh, v'ishtri, ishtri. So that would be the only case where such a reason, such a thing would happen. So we come up with a relatively improbable proposition that says that the only reason the Torah had to write Aleha was exactly for that case of Achot Isha, where the deceased brother had died before the living brother married his own wife, in which case there was a moment there in which she was ra'ui to him, then he married his own wife, and then so the Yisur Eshet Ach that had already been lifted carries with it, theoretically, as something that will trump the Isur of Achot Isha, and therefore Aleha blocks that. That's answer number one. Vibaita, we don't like that very much, so we go to another answer. Vibaita, we have another possibility. Atya behekesha. We have a hekesh. Meet a Rabbi Yonah. The Torah says, this is pasuk number one on the page, pasuk number two, but at the end of the parsha of Achrimot, it says, anybody who does any of these toivot, we've seen this text earlier, so all of the arot are compared to each other, including to Eshet Ach, which is the last one, I believe the last one mentioned. Ma ishet ach shariyav kol ariyot na misharyav. It's not the last one mentioned, but all of the ariyot are compared to each other, and one of those ariyot is ishet ach. So just like ishet ach becomes mutter as a result of the death of the brother with no children, so all of the ariyot should be lifted that way. Now, by the way, we have a good argument for all that, because now we have a very broad heter that's possible, and that we have to block. So we said, Amar le Rav Acha, Medifta the Ravina, Mechti kol areyot ika la kushim le shadach, vika la kushim la chot isha. But let's think about it. All the areyot are compared to each other, because they're all lumped together. So you can compare them all to Eshadach, in which case they'd all be mutter, or they could compare them all to achot isha, in which case they'd all be osur. Right? So now, my chazita akshala achot isha. So why indeed are we comparing them all to Achot Isha and saying, just, this goes back to the limud at the beginning of the Masechet, that just like Achot Isha is Asur, and the Tzarot are Asur, and Tzarot are Asur, etc., and that's the foundation, right? Akshinu le'eshet ach, why don't we compare it to Eshet ach? So we have two answers. Yibayitim alukula v'chumra, alukula ma'achumra makshinan. If we're going to go by way of a hekesh, a juxtaposition, as it were, being part of a group, so we have Achot Isha, the result of which will be chumra, or Eshet Ach, the result of which will be Kula, we always call the Chumra. That's rule number one. Second thing is, with Achot Isha and all of the other Arayot, in a case of Yibum, there's two Isurim. There's Eshet Ach plus the new one. Whereas Eshet Ach, there's only one Isur. So you can't compare that to the others. Achot Trei Isuri, Trei Mi Trei Alfina. You can learn two from two. But Eshet Ach is only one Isur that gets lifted. So we can't extrapolate from that to cases where two Isurim are going to be lifted. Right? Somewhat similar to what we saw before. That's answer number two. So answer number one, why would we need Aleha after everything we've gone through? Is we need Aleha because of the unlikely case, which is the rare case, where the brother number one married brother and sister number one and then died before brother number two married sister number two, etc. Second possibility is because we are concerned with Rabbi Yonah's Hakesh that we could be makish to Eshet Ach. And then we turn around and say in practice we actually are makish to Achot Isha. Why? Either because we go to Chumra or because just like Achot Isha, all the other Ariot are two Isurim being lifted and therefore it's a more appropriate analogy. Rava gives a third answer. Erva lo tzricha kra. He says, you know what? Aleha isn't needed in order to tell me that Achot Isha cannot have Yibum. Then I say, docholot aseh shishbokoreit. He says, it's a very simple reading, as we've been sort of dancing around for the last few daf, that mitzvah aseh is not docholot shishbokoreit. Right? Kitzdarech kra lemeser tzara. Alright, so the Torah is, the Aleha is there not to say that the sister herself cannot marry. The wife's sister cannot marry her sister, her brother-in-law, but rather to say her tzara doesn't. Now, parenthetically, erva lo tzricha kra, you don't need a pasuk for erva. Vatanan ein li elahi mishum tzarata. Ein li elahi. In the brayta we said ein li elahi. All I know is that she can't. How do I know tzarata? And they said latzura and litzura, etc. Back in the beginning of the Masechet. The answer is mishum tzarata. The truth is that was all a setup to get to tzara. The truth is that erva would never come onto the table. That would never be a possibility. I vaktani ein li ela hein. It says all I know is them, meaning he and tzara. How do I know tzarotayan? Mishum tzarotayan. Again, it's a setup to get erva and tzara to get tzarotayan. Toshma. Now Rebbe Omer v'lakach ulakacha v'yibem v'yibma. If you look at the pasuk, and I try to underscore it here in the text, not in the verses, on pasuk number three, it says v'ulakacha lo liisha v'yibma. He shall take her to him as a wife, and he be miabim her. It could have just said without the possessive, he will without the accusative. He will take v'lakach v'yibein. Why do you say v'lakacha v'yibma? Why do we have those two? V'asor tzarot v'arayot. Rebbe says that is to prohibit tzarot and arayot, meaning that it has to be somebody who is fit to have marriage with, to have likuchim with. So you see that Rebbe seems to require a separate pasuk to prohibit the erva itself. The answer is Eima l'asor tzarot shel arayot, not tzarot ve'arayot, but tzarot shel arayot, which, by the way, is more reasonable because tzarot are not asur unless one of them is a problem relationship. Otherwise, you marry one of them. That's fine. V'ha trei krei kanasiv lei, but Rebbe used two psukim, u'lekacha en v'yibma. So why would he use two psukim if it's only one result, which is tzarot shel erva? Right? V'amai lav chad l'erva v'chad l'tzara. Isn't one for the erva, one for the tzara? Lo, idi v'idi l'tzara. Both psukim, both words, u'lekacha v'yibma, are there to teach about the tzara. Chad l'meser tzara mokam mitzvah. One of them is to prohibit a tzara when it's a real yibum case. Meaning, there's two wives. One is a problem relationship. And there's yibum going on. Neither she nor the tzara can marry the brother. But on the other hand, if there is no yibum, they had kids, then this tzara goes off and marries some outsider. She marries another brother. And then, sorry, she marries an outsider. And that outsider has another wife. The outsider dies. That other wife comes to marry our fellow. That's perfectly fine, even though she's tzarat tzara, because she was never caught by makom mitzvah. The other pasuk is there to tell you that tzara is permitted, meaning through that circuitous route, if it is shalom makom mitzvah. Now, my time, what's the reason? V'yibem v'yima. That's the pasuk. V'makom yibum hu da'asira tzara. That the prohibition is only when there's really yibum going on. Shalom makom yibum sharia tzara. Now, it really is an unlikely result. It says where the Torah trumps an erva, an eshadach, because there's no kids, it also encircles and prohibits an erva, that nothing has changed, achot isha has not changed. It also says that sarot, the co-wives, are included in that, and they carry that isser with them wherever they go, and it affects all other co-wives in any subsequent relationship. And that's only when it's because of yibum. If, on the other hand, a man dies, he had a few kids, a man dies and he has a few wives, and one of the wives then goes off and marries some other guy, and she was a co-wife with somebody who was related to this guy's brother. She goes and marries some other guy, and he has a few wives, and he dies. One of those other wives can marry the brother, the original brother. There's nothing that ties, there's nothing that connects them. There's only makom yibum that it carries through. Good. Amar Rav Ashi, manin namideka. Rav Ashi says, if you look at the Mishnah carefully, it actually supports Rav's point that the pasuk is there to tell you that Sarah is Asur, and Sarah b'makom mitzvah, shalom b'makom mitzvah, is mutter. Tani chamesh nashim potrot sarotehen. They exempt. B'ilu p'turotu potrot lo tani. It doesn't say they are exempt. They exempt. In other words, it's specifically because of Yibum that they affect the tzarot that way. Shvamina. U'mayishna erva lo tzricha kri. So let's step back. Rabbi, you're telling me that we don't need a pasuk to tell me that you don't do Yibum on your wife's sister? Because of the principle that I say is not dochalav shesh bokarit. Sara nami loti vayikra, because after all, we saw from Leet Soror that sarot are considered like the erva themselves. And then I say dochalot asesh shesh bokarit. Rachi bar bibi mar the ravina. So he said, you're right. Achi kamar mishmei de rava. This is what Rava really said. Sara nami loti tayach kra. Sara also doesn't need a pasuk. Because a tzara from the word litzror is considered to be like the achot isha herself, and therefore that's an lav shish bo karet. Kitzarech kra lemishrei tzara shalav makom mitzvah. You know what we need the pasuk for? Aleha. Aleha is not to tell you don't do yibum with this woman, but rather to tell you the isser on her only exists b'makom yibum. Shalav makom mitzvah, there is no isser. My taima, I'm a kra aleha, because the pasuk says aleha, meaning b'makom aleha. Remember, how do we get to aleha? Because in our pasuk it says Yivama Yavo Aleha, so it's only when the Aleha applies in Yibum Huda Asira. That's when Sarot are Asur. Shalom Makom Aleha Sharya. Good. So Amalei Rav Mechamalei Rava. Ema erva gufe shlo makom mitzvah tishtari. Now he comes up with a reductio argument. It's preposterous, but he's trying to say, okay, good. So when your wife's sister is married to your brother and he dies without children, she falls to you, you're not allowed to marry her. But maybe if your wife's sister was married to some other guy or married to your brother and they had kids, and there is no makom mitzvah, maybe she's mutter to you. And what's the kal v'chomer? Lav kal v'chomer hu b'makom mitzvah asirus, lo makom mitzvah sharia. After all, you just said the same thing with the tzara. The tzara is also to you makom mitzvah, mutter shlo makom mitzvah. Maybe the erva herself is, which of course is ridiculous. But we're setting it up to show that the logic is tortured. Amalei tzara tochiach. Tzara will prove your logic wrong. Makom mitzvah asirus, lo makom mitzvah sharia. So amar le'alech amar kra. And then he's trying to prove his point by saying that Sarah herself is what we just said is Aser b'Malkam Mitzvah and Mutter b'Shalom Malkam Mitzvah. So his response was Alach Amar Kra b'Chayeha. So it's regarding such an argument that the text says you cannot take a woman, your wife's sister, along with your wife b'Chayeha during her life. Kol she b'Chayeha, as long as your wife is alive, you can't marry your sister. In any case, so Hay b'Chayeha mibayle l'Mutter l'Chamita. Wait, b'Chayeha is needed for itself to tell you that if the wife dies, you can marry your sister. It's the only erva, by the way, that the death of the principal allows the erva to come in. So hahum ivi isha el achotah nafka. That we get from the first part of the pasuk. It says isha el achotah. That's pasuk number 4 on the page. You cannot take a wife and her sister, meaning while they're both alive. Imivi isha el achotah min and garsha sharia. Ah, then I would think it's only if you're actually married to the woman. So if you divorced your wife, I wouldn't think you can marry the sister. Therefore, I need b'chaya to tell me as long as the wife's alive, it's aser, even if you divorced her. This is how it works. Trey, Kray, TV. We have two halves of the pasuk. TV Shael Achota Lotikach Litzror. You cannot take a woman and her sister together, Litzror, to bind them together. It sounds like two. Uchtiv Legalot Ervata. To uncover her nakedness. That's singular. Techada Mashma. So how does that work? Haketzah. So the way that they understand it is there's sometimes that both are aser, and sometimes only one is aser. Both meaning the erva and the tzara, and sometimes only the erva is aser. The makom mitzvah shteyan asurot, when it's makom mitzvah because of aleha, that's the context, they're both aser. Shalom makom mitzvah, hi asurot, tzara tamuteret. It's not shalom makom mitzvah, it's a regular case. The woman herself is problematic. Her co-wife is not inherently problematic, except for the relationship. Out of the relationship, she's not problematic. So epuchana. So let's try turning it around. Makom mitzvah hi asura v'tzara tamuteret. Maybe makom mitzvah we have the tzara being mutter because after all we have yibum kind of pushing towards that. Shlom makom mitzvah shtei mitzvah. But maybe if there's no mitzvah, no yibum, then maybe they're both asur. Imken lo yomar aleha. Then you don't need aleha in the pasuk. Aleha is there to link the isur of tzarot to yibum. Amar Rav Asher, Rav Kahana, Mai dahay aleha lisura. Dilma latera. Who says? Maybe Aleha is not coming there to tell me an Isser. Lahefech. Maybe Aleha is coming there to tell me a Heter to say that Yivamaya vo Aleha, even in that case. V'achikam Arachmana, Yisha Alachotah l'tikach l'tzror, lo hi v'lo tzarata, shalom makom Aleha. In other words, maybe you can't marry your wife's sister or her tzara when there's no Aleha happening. Makom Aleha stands mutarot, but maybe when there's Aleha, they're both mutar, the wife's sister and the tzara. So if that's the case, then you have the polar extremes. That the makom mitzvah, they're both mutter. Shalom makom mitzvah, they're both aser. So im came the galot ervata, erva dechada. So the read that we had in the pasuk just a minute ago, that the pasuk seems to indicate that there's a problem with both and a problem with one. You're never going to have a situation of problem with one. According to you, they're either both mutter or both aser. Hechem ishkachala, im makom mitzvah, shtein mutarot. If it's makom mitzvah, they're both mutter. Shalom makom mitzvah, shtein asurot. If it's shlom makom mitzvah, then they're both aser. And so we end up, and we're really not out of the woods on this, but we end up saying that, at this point, that the word aleha is not needed to tell me that the erva is not trumped by yibum, because that we already know, because lav, she'ish bo karet, is not trumped by an asay, but it's there to tell me something about the tzarot, or the tzarot tzarot, that they are also usher, and maybe that their isser only applies when the original relationship happened as a result of yibum, and not as a result of another kind of death or divorce, which would not carry that hector. Tov, Mirza Hashem will continue after Shabbat. with our analysis of the first Mishnah, and very soon we will start analyzing the specific arayot mentioned in the Mishnah. We are still in the introductory phase of our study, where we are trying to get a general overview of the ruling of the Mishnah and the sources for that ruling, that the arayot, the tzarot, 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 ad sof haolam, are poter from Yibum.